Good evening.
Good evening.
Was happy to get out today, but sad to visit Pam, and we're going to pray for her, really pray hard, because she's not doing well right now, but with the Lord, nothing is impossible, and she can make a recovery, so let's make sure to do that, and also Dolly and all the others, because it's been a rough time, it really has, and we just have to push through with the Lord. So we're going to talk about some law tonight. In our world, we really have two types of law. We have civil laws, and they keep us safe. They're established for, at least supposedly, the good of man. And for example, we have a law that we are to stop at a stop sign. And that's so that we will not run through the stop sign, maybe injure somebody else, injure ourselves. And civil laws, they can vary from place to place, and they can change from time to time. But some laws, they can be kind of strange and kind of confusing. I'm going to read you some of those right now, okay? In California, community leaders passed an ordinance that makes it illegal for anyone to try and stop a child from playfully jumping over puddles of water. In Florida, women can be fined for falling asleep under a hairdryer, as can the salon owner. Also in Florida, if an elephant is left tied to a parking meter, the parking fee has to be paid just as it would for a vehicle. And finally, in Woodstock, New York, it is illegal to walk your bear on the street without a leash, so make sure you have it leashed. Now, I got those off the internet, so take them with a grain of salt, all right? We know how the internet is, right? But there's a divine law which is higher than any law that we have. It's a higher order of law. And God's laws, they are absolute, and they never change. James 1:17, one of my favorite verses, talks about the Father of lights, that all good things come down from Him, and there with Him there is what? No variation or shadow of turning. So in other words, He doesn't change. We change around. We flip-flop. God doesn't do that. For example, it's always wrong to lie, steal, and murder. And people might think there are some situations where it's all right to lie, steal, and murder, but if they think that, they're mistaken. It's not all right to do those things. The highest test of our respect for God is obeying His commands, His laws. So, I suppose everyone in here would say that they love Jesus. Well, what did our Lord say? In John 14, verse 15, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In addition, we must obey God's laws simply because they come from God. We must obey even if we can't see any reason for this law. We must obey even if we can't see any good in this law. And we must obey even if we see wrong in the command. And I'm going to get to all of that. First of all, we must obey even if we can't see any reason for the command. Now, I want you to consider the commands in the Passover. And if you want to turn to Exodus, we're going to read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, and then we're also going to read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. So we'll be in that little spot there. Exodus 12, verse 7 says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." Exodus 12, 13 says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now by human intelligence, there's no connection between blood on the doorpost and being saved from death. We just can't compute that. But that was the way to be saved, wasn't it? That was the way to do it. Life was preserved by being obedient to God. And consider the command regarding the brazen serpent. Do you remember this story? It's in Numbers 21, verses 5 through 9, but I'm going to explain it. The people of Israel, they were very discouraged at this time. They asked God, why did you lead us out of Egypt only to destroy us in the wilderness? So fiery serpents were released into the camp. They bit many of the Israelites, and many of them died. And Moses was told to make a serpent of brass and to put it on a pole, and that everyone who looked at it would live. Now, how could looking at a serpent made of brass cure a snake bite? It was because it was God's law, and that obedience to God saved their lives. Consider the commands given to the Israelites in order to take the city of Jericho. I'm sure you remember the city of Jericho and that story, marching around. Joshua 6, verses 3 through 6. You know, most of us have heard it, but they were ordered to march around Jericho in order to conquer the city. They were to circle the city one time for 6 days, and then they were to circle it 7 times on the 7th day. And after the 7th time on the 7th day, the priests were to make a long blast on the ram's horns, and the people were to shout with a great shout. By human reasoning, again, what do you do to take a city? You build siege ramps. You do, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, but marching around it typically is not the way you do it, right? But when they obeyed, the walls fell, and they took that city. Now, we also must obey even if we can't see any good in the command. In 2 Kings 5, verses 8 through 14, we find the story of Naaman. Now, Naaman was a great man by any standard, even our modern standards. He was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. And Naaman was commanded to dip 7 times in the Jordan River, if you remember this story, in order to be healed of his leprosy. Because as great as he was, he had leprosy. Now, the rivers to the north near his homeland were much cleaner. They were much better to dip in, well, according to him anyway, than the waters of the Jordan. Because the waters of the Jordan were gross, as they might say today. But fortunately, he had some wise servants. They persuaded him, okay, you need to do what God says, right? You need to follow God, because God is the creator of the universe. Maybe he knows best. But in the same way, people today think they can't find good in some of these things. And if they can't find good, what do they think? Well, it's not necessary to do it then. And this is simply not true. What about Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat of the tree, right? Let's read Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He told them. But with the help of the servant, and I use that word help loosely, Eve could see nothing good in the command not to eat of the tree. And in fact, she saw the opposite. Genesis 3, verse 6 tells us, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, what kind of wisdom did they get there? The knowledge of good, and what's the other one? Evil. That's not good to know. You're better off not knowing that. So, since the fruit of the tree didn't appear to be harmful in any way, but rather good, they ate of it. But that ended in disaster, and it always ends in disaster when we disobey God. It may be now, it may be later, but it's always going to end in disaster. What about the Ark of the Covenant? In 1 Samuel 6, verse 19, we hear that the command is that no one is to look into the ark. 1 Samuel 6:19, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Now, I'm sure that those 50,070 men, they didn't see anything harmful in looking into that ark. We as humans think that if we don't see any harm in disobeying, well, we can probably do it then. That's just human nature. But in addition, if we can see good in our own minds in disobeying, we're surely going to do it then, right? Sometimes we think, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do it. And we don't pay attention to what the Lord has commanded us to do. And I'm going to give an example, and this is a big talking point, but I do want to give an example that is important today in our country. It's abortion. When people sin, and then they have a consequence to that sin, they want to rationalize. And in their own minds, to abort an unwanted pregnancy, that's a good thing, in their minds. But those who support abortion may tell themselves that it's no great wrong to dispose of this tiny little clump of cells, but they don't realize that they too were a tiny little clump of cells, and that they are still a pretty tiny clump of cells. And besides, it does not matter the size. Morality does not care how big something is. What matters is that it is a breaking of the commands of God. It's murder. It's the intentional taking of a human life. And I wanted to read you this. A professor at the UCLA Medical School asked his students this question. Here is the family history. The father has syphilis. The mother has TB. They already have had four children. The first is blind. The second has died. The third is deaf. The fourth has TB. The mother is pregnant. The parents are willing to have an abortion if you decide that they should. What do you think? Most of the students decided on abortion. Congratulations, said the professor. You've just murdered Beethoven. So we need to think. God has plans. Now, I'm not saying that Beethoven was this rich thing in God's plan, but he was. He was a child of God, in a sense. He was born of God. We all are. We all have that ability to follow and be a Christian. And to take that away from somebody is wrong. Now, I want to give you another thing. I don't know if you've heard this before, but the Greek word briphos is used in Luke 1:41 to refer to the unborn child that leapt in Elizabeth's womb, if you remember that. That was the word used to describe that. And it's the same word translated infants in Luke 18:15, where it states they were bringing even the infants to him. So when they were bringing the children to him, this was in that day, that was a common thing that they would touch the children, and it was a, you know, like a blessing. And so these children outside the womb were referred to with the same word that it was John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. So we need to think about that. We truly do need to think about that and make that stand. I'm not thinking that, you know, we're somebody that's going to be promoting that, but know that that's the right thing. We also must obey even if we see wrong in the thing commanded. Now, first of all, we ask, would God ever give a command wherein there's something wrong with it? And the first thing we think is, of course not. But consider a few examples that test us a little bit, okay? Consider what was required of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. And I'm not going to read them. I'm going to explain them. Isaiah was required to walk around, naked and barefoot, preaching. Now, he may have still had on undergarments. You know, there's debate there. But Isaiah's work was mainly among royalty. It was King Hezekiah. He associated with the elite, with the well-to-do of his time. And think about what that did to him. He was a well-to-do, righteous man. Think of what that did to his life. He could have easily said, this is wrong, and I'm too embarrassed to do this. If you want to talk about that afterwards, I've researched it a little bit, but that was one of the things where God was doing something. This was the Old Testament, remember. But we got some of those commandments today, and we're going to talk about those in a little bit. Abraham was commanded to offer Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22, verse 2. And Abraham, he could have argued, right? He could have said, this is murder, this is human sacrifice, I'm not going to do it. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And it's because he obeyed God without question. He knew God, and he knew that God would not carry out anything unrighteous. He trusted. You don't obey man without question, but he knew you do obey God without question, and everything will turn out fine. Now, we don't have these specific unusual commands in the New Covenant and the New Testament, but we do have some issues that people have problems with, right? And we're going to look at one. We're going to look at three principles regarding baptism. So we must obey, even if we can't see any reason for it. And some people today, they say, I can't see how water can take away sin. Some others say, if water will wash away sin, why isn't sprinkling or pouring water just as good as immersion? But I ask you, shall we say to God, this is a ridiculous command and I'm not going to obey it? We must obey the command even if we can't see any good in the command. And people sometimes argue that there's no power in the water to remove sin. That's true. The power is in the Lord. But we must go to the water to receive that blessing. If we remember Naaman, he had to do it, didn't he? And there was no power in that water of the Jordan. There was a lot of mud. There was no power in that. No power to heal leprosy, a very prevalent disease at that time. But he had to go to the water anyway to be cleansed. And there was no power in that brazen serpent either to heal someone's snake bite. But the people had to look at that serpent in order to be healed. And it's unbelief, it's lack of faith that cries out, it won't do any good, I'm not going to do that. And here's another, this one's a shocker. We must obey even if we see wrong in the thing commanded. For example, you might think that it would be wrong to baptize or to be baptized if it could possibly harm the body of that person, right? That would seem logical. But there have been situations where people who are nearing death, they're in the hospital, they want baptism, and sometimes relatives who may be secular or unbelievers or who may be in other sections of religious circles, they will say, no, we don't want that person baptized. That could harm their health. But we have to obey God, even when it seems wrong in our eyes. Remember how short this life is and how long. Long is probably not even the word. Eternity is forever. So remember, we should obey God regardless of the situation we are in. It's not our place to question God's commandments. It's not our place to try to find good or harm in God's commandments. We should obey even when we feel like the thing is wrong in and of itself. John 15, verse 14, this is the Lord speaking, and he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Do whatever I command you. And speaking of our Lord Jesus, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5, verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And I ask you, have you obeyed in baptism? Have you obeyed despite what you think about baptism? Will you put aside your thoughts, your opinions on baptism, on any of these things that I'm about to mention, because I'm about to invite you down here in a minute. And I'm going to name those things that you need to do. And if you have problems with any of those, you need to see us. You need to come down to the front. You need to make it right with the Lord. Put aside all thoughts. Pretend I'm not even here. because this is coming out of the Bible. Romans 6, verses 16, or 17 and 18, rather, says that obeying from the heart will make you free from all sin. And I'm going to say it again. I'm about to invite you down here. This is the time. Today is the day of salvation. You can make things right with God. But first you need to hear Romans 10, 17. You need to believe Hebrews 11, 6. You need to repent. You find that in Luke 13, verse 3. You need to confess. We find that in Matthew 10, verse 32. You need to be baptized, Mark 16, 16, and Acts 2, 38. And then you need to live faithfully, Revelation 2, verse 10. You can have peace. You can have joy that you never imagined. So I ask you, if you have need of baptism or if you have need of the prayers of this congregation, come now as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.